Community Corner is brought to you by JN Foundation, impacting communities through innovation and inspiring Jamaicans to find a way.
Oh, I know a place we can carry on. Hey, oh, I know a place we can carry on. Come children, we must carry on now. We can carry on. Yeah.
Thank you very much for continuing to listen and to watch Talking History today. I see you, Kibwe Copeland. I see you, Elaine Weller. I see you, Dan Brown. I see you, Mr. Bean. I see all of you, Carvel Burrell. I know that you're listening from around the world and watching New York and Thailand. Yes, Maxine, I've seen you from the UK and various parts of Florida. So thank you so much. Now we go to Westmoreland to speak with Mr. Trevor Lewis in this Jamaica National Foundation Parish Histories Project. So we have had the authors, but sometimes we talk to those other people who can add to our knowledge. So it's your turn today, Mr. Trevor Lewis. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to have a talk about a favorite part of the world, Jamaica, Westmoreland, my parish.
Well, you know, we always start by asking people why their parish has that name. So what did you learn as a child growing up in Westmoreland about the name? How did it get its name?
In terms of the location on Jamaica's map, we are the most westerly parish.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that because of that, it was given the name West. And people traveling from east to west kept finding more land as they traveled west. So they just added the more land onto the west. And it became Westmoreland.
Well, you see, the thing is that sometimes I don't know. I've been trying to delve deeper into that, because then I'm saying if it's only location, we would have Easterland instead of St. Thomas.
Yeah, but there's a sweet ring to West is the best, and therefore, you know, we got Westmoreland.
Well, I suppose they did call it St. Thomas in the East at one point to distinguish it from St. Thomas in the Vale, so I suppose they could say that's the reason. But in my parish of St. Mary, there's a Westmoreland Bridge, so I'm sure there were also people in the country with the name Westmoreland, or places in England called Westmoreland. What do you think?
That's a fact, as you know. Yes, there are places in England called Westmoreland. The fact that Britain spent a good period of time as our rulers and brought a lot of their cultures and names to this country.
Yes.
Westmoreland. We've got places like Shrewsbury Island in England. Called Riverhampton. We had Shrewsbury next to us, and we've got Shrewsbury here. We had the Darlington.
Exactly.
Right here with me.
So I don't think we're wrong to be a little bit skeptical, but for now, since that's what we have grown up hearing, we'll leave it for now. But your childhood was spent in what part of Westmoreland?
Currently where my childhood started. I was born in a little village called Barham. In the district of Friendship, the postal district of Friendship.
Okay.
Barham is north of Savlamar, about 7 miles down. We used to walk from Barham to Sav at a weekend with my grandmother selling at you can imagine. It's about 7 miles north of Sav, on the way to Roaring River, in that vicinity, and towards Mayfield Falls.
Okay. So how long were you away from your village, your community?
I left this community as a boy in 1967, age 11 and a half, to go and join my parents in England.
Mm-hmm.
My parents and brothers and sisters in Wolverhampton.
Okay.
And that's where I spent all my years of high school and tertiary education. Mm-hmm. Obviously, my work, most of that time was spent in England.
Mm-hmm. And you came back when?
I came back in 1981 for a visit after leaving in 1967. And that was a very traumatic visit, I have to say, because when I came back, I didn't tell anyone I was coming. We'd lost contact with family here in a way. So we came back incognito, thinking I'm going to come and surprise my grandmother and my great-grandmother. And turned up at my grandmother's yard with beard and long, well, not so much long, but bushy hair, afro, thinking I'm going to surprise her. And she sees me 50 yards down the road and says, "I Trevor that day."
<You know? laughs> She didn't say, "Boy, I'm going to cut your hair."
Exactly. So that was something I did very quick after that. The next time she showed me, I was clean shaved. And,
you see, I expected that, you know, because I know some of our people, they don't like Rasta or anything look like that, you know. So have you grown back your locks now?
It wasn't so much locks, but it was the afro.
It was afro in those days. Okay, yeah, yes. Yes, I had one too.
Sure, that. In England, at the time in England, the situation, we got Rastafari and all the kind of things, is a little bit, not so much volatile, but we're all learning.
Yes, know? Of course. Yes.
Yeah, that's another experience to talk about, because that's what I learned about in England and with such groups, my history and what was very important to me about coming back to Jamaica.
But you see what happens? I've heard that so many times. People don't want to learn history in Jamaica. When they go abroad, they suddenly discover that other people know their history and they don't know their history. And they want to stand up and say, "I have a history." And then I get all these letters saying, "Prof, which book can I read to get a quick history of Jamaica?" Yeah.
But you know? Let me say something to you, Prof.
Right? Yes.
When I left here, you know, in 1967, I wasn't stupid. I thought that I went to a decent class. I went to England into the top class. And it was in that class when I was nearly 12. I sat down in a history lesson. I was presented with a history book of British history to show me that what I was told in Jamaica, that we were from Tainos and Arawaks and whatnot, wasn't exactly true, because in this book was the slave ship from Africa to the Caribbean showing our ancestors shackled.
And they didn't tell you who shackled them?
No, they told me, because the book was telling me, right?
Oh.
That this is what Britain used to do. And I sat there thinking, I've just left Jamaica, thinking I know my country, because I'm an Arawak.
Oh, I see the point you're making. Yeah? Yes,
but
yes.
No, I'm not. I was shocked for years. Trust me, man. And I blame my people here for not telling me that.
Yes, anyway, yes,
that's
yes.
You've got to change that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you better join the lobby, because Caribbean history is not a compulsory subject in any school in Jamaica. And it's not in the other parts of the Caribbean, because our policy makers don't know the history themselves, so they don't know the importance of it, and they will not, and they are denying children and people of Jamaica and the Caribbean, you know, the knowledge and an identity. You know,
they know the importance because they listen to the speeches of Garvey. They listen to the speeches of Nelson Mandela.
You think so?
Well, you played a clip earlier on.
But today, I don't know if them are listening to my program.
Listen, I know they're listening. Some are listening. But that's the problem with Jamaica. And I'm not being too general. We have too many people who hear but don't act, and we don't hold them accountable.
Yes.
And that's our fault.
All right.
That's another matter.
I have another question for you. One last question. Now, you know, we're talking about Labor Day and all of that, right?
Yeah.
And you are from a parish that has a history of participation in protest.
Indeed, we do.
What can you tell Jamaica about the relevance of Labor Day as far as Westmoreland is concerned?
Okay. Well, where I live, I say it's Barham. To my backyard, when I walk out of my backyard, I go through the cane fields of Froom Estate.
Mm-hmm.
And where I end up at Froom's factory gate. And at Froom, there is a monument to a significant issue. As you say, you think it was 1938 or around that time, Bustamante Union, people there revolted about the conditions and pay. And yes, there is a real significance for the struggle for our people at that monument. But I'll take it further. I think all we've got is like a lip service monument, because there's nothing that's taking it any further. People drive past, and I bet you most of the kids, even go to Froom School, they won't have a clue what that thing's there for. Yeah? Because there's nothing proactively going on to make them be a part of it, integrate with it.
If they stop there, though, if they stop there out of curiosity, they would see the storyboard. Because I recall, unless the storyboard has faded by now, I don't know.
I've not seen it recently, but I've passed there, and I always glance over, because I have a serious issue with what's going on in our history here.
Yes, yes.
And I don't think it's prominent enough. But it's not just that. It's how do you actually make them interact with it.
Right.
People, we go past Froom, you know. Froom is the biggest estate to sugar industry in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now broken down, the history that's in that place. If you're in some other countries, you'd be taking people through there. You'd be
I know that. We could make so much money off heritage tourism. Yeah. But we only talk about heritage tourism when all the other kind of tourism them gone down.
Let me tell you then, right, because I'm out here on a project. I have a business called Cabarita River Adventure and Mesopotamia Leisure Farm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mesopotamia was the original name of Barra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And during the period when the slave owner, Joseph Barham, owned Mesopotamia, the place changed its name to his name, as you know a lot of people.
Oh,
know.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
That's why I think Westbola, but not Westerly. But anyway...
Right. No, he said, well, you used to go to Barham Yard, right? I live close to Barham Yard. The Barham Yard for the slave transactions, all those transactions took place.
Yes.
And that's where the community became known as Barham.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? But
yes.
Added to that, not far from Barham, is a place called Bambury.
Mm-hmm.
And Bambury is a place that the John Guthrie, that name is a gentleman who signed a peace treaty in 1739 with Kodjo.
Well, you call him a gentleman.
Well, I try to be, and always polite to
whoever. All right.
I can't be good at that, because
okay.
People call me Mr. Lewis. And I know as soon as you see me back there, I look for a team.
All right.
So we go back at me. We go the flow. So, yeah, there's a lot of history in this area. And not just the Bustamante issue, but the Kodjo issue, the fact that we got Roaring River where slaves used to hide, we've got Bluefield,
mm-hmm.
lots of areas where there have been people who have resisted the oppression that we went through.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I have children here, I have young people here, and not being told it in a way that they want to engage with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying I'm here with a project that I've got young people with me.
Okay.
We do summer projects. We do all kinds of things to try and engage with it. But that name Mesopotamia, we brought it out to say, come mm-hmm. on, we're going to link back to that history.
Yeah.
It's my great-great-great-great-grandmother, if you believe in Dopey, and then start walking. I'm going to look for Mesopotamia, not Barham, right? And I want them to find me.
Okay, so at least you're doing something about it. We have to run, but...
I just want to say one quick thing.
Yes.
One quick thing before I go, right? And you mentioned in your program, because I've been listening, you know, passing on the baton.
Yes.
How do we pass on the baton?
Yes.
And we've got to have our young people involved in the process. It's not just talking. I have here with me a young man who working in my project.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Zane. He's been with me for nearly 10 years now, and it's because we believe we have to teach them what we're doing, how we do it, and leave a proper legacy.
And they can carry on. But, yes, I know I have to go, but you told me that the Savlamar was not the original capital.
No, it was Bambury.
Bambury.
Bambury is north of Savlamar, about 6 miles north of Bambury.
Okay.
And that's where John Guthrie lived. A quick story about John Guthrie, because there is a story.
I don't think we have time for this story, but
okay.
I'd love to get you back another time, because we can do two on Westmoreland, okay?
That's cool. No problem.
All right. But thank you so much. And since you don't want to call you Mr. Lewis, Trevor, thank you so much for joining Vereen on Talking History today. Thank you so much for this wonderful intervention and education. Thank you so much. All right. So, our final segment where we come forward.
We can carry on.
Community Corner was brought to you by JN Foundation, impacting communities through innovation and inspiring Jamaicans to find a way.